In a reversal, News International Chief Executive Rupert Murdoch, his son James, and editor Rebecca Brooks agreed today to testify before a British parliamentary committee investigating the phone hacking scandal. In this country, Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation owns the hugely influential New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, Fox News. And this week, several U.S. lawmakers called on the Justice Department and the Securities Exchange Commission to investigate if News Corp committed any wrongdoing here, following reports that Murdoch's News of the World journalists wanted to hack into the phones of 9/11 victims. What might the fallout be here? David Carr writes the Media Equation column for the New York Times. He joins us. And David, first of all, talk about who knew what when. Rebecca Brooks says it's inconceivable that she knew about this hacking when she was editor. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I say it's inconceivable she did not know about it. We're talking hundreds of stories. I don't know how you can edit a paper and not know where your stories come from. Did she think the magic news fairies flew in through the windows of the newsroom?
We'll talk a little bit about that, because Carl Bernstein is writing about this week in, I think, Newsweek. You know, he says, look, when you have a big breaking story, you talk to one person about it. And when you have sources and when you know that something might be inflammatory, you talk to your editor about it. You know, is it possible that they had these hundreds of scoops and nobody asked, what's your source?
I've never worked in a British newsroom, so I can't say with certainty. I just know in my room, whenever I come up with something that's particularly tangy or interesting, it starts with my direct editor. But then I have been asked and compelled to reveal the sourcing to judge its efficacy. It's hard for Americans to sort of figure this out. But, you know, the British press environment is far more regulated. From a libel standpoint, they have very aggressive laws in favor of the plaintiffs. In an odd way, I think that's part of how we ended up here, is they needed to have the goods to print this stuff in order to defend it in court. So they sought extra legal means to obtain supporting information for their story.
When you say extra legal, you mean outside the law?
Yeah, that they hacked into phone lines, because if you end up in a British libel court, you have to show how you know what you know, or you have to have evidence of it. And I think that's part of why they ended up in a position of drilling down and drilling down past the limits of the law to obtain information.
Yeah, but then they would have had to show in court that they did hack into people's phones.
In some instances, but when you get information from one place, you can use it to leverage information out in other ways.
In other words, get it from the cell phone and then figure out how to get it in another way. Well,
yeah, as reporters know, knowing the story is the hardest part, and then figuring out how to support it, that's all details.
Well, you ask, and now Congress is asking, or asking the Justice Department to ask, will this all jump the pond and hurt the company's American operations? Explain how liquid this company is, how many people who work for Murdoch in Britain might be working in this country, and what is your answer to that question, will it jump the pond?
Well, a couple of things to remember. This company with a $42 billion market cap that made $32 billion, a fifth of which came from print and information services. We're talking about a company with a very, very solid, flexible operational picture, and that just did a $5 billion buyback. So people who say, oh, News Corp, their goose is cooked, I don't think so. They're led by one of the most resilient CEOs in the land, and we don't know where the borders of the story are. And it indeed may make its way to U.S. shores. Two ways I can think of. One is, if in fact 9/11 victims were hacked. I'm so far not impressed by the sourcing on that story.
For those who haven't heard, the source was a former New York police officer turned investigator who said he was asked for numbers and refused. But you've got that on a back burner.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot more reporting to make that story happen. And if it was true and it did happen, it's going to have significant implications. More specifically, Les Hinton, who is chief executive of the Wall Street Journal, was the chief of News International, which is the British newspaper operation, during much of the relevant time period. And he testified twice before Parliament, including the second time, saying that they were confident that the hacking scandal was confined to a single Reuters reporter
sure.
at the news of the world. That did not turn out to be true. So we'll see if he is called to account for his previous testimony.
Well, what about other examinations of other Murdoch operations? Howard Kurtz has written about the culture of Murdoch's New York Post newsroom. Direction from the top about which public figures to take down is as common as kickbacks and graft in reporting. This is Howard Kurtz writing. You also say that Americans might see parallels between Fox News and some of the things happening in Britain. How so?
Well, they did have four presidential candidates at one time on their payroll as commentators, and people could see that as a very kind of porous wall. I think there's a difference, though, between sort of news aggression and tendentious reporting of news at the Post and elsewhere. Many reporters right now are looking through, you know, American operations to see parallels, but I don't think those are yet firmly established.
Well, but as you say, maybe it's also true that, you know, you may dislike how the Post operates. You may dislike that, you know, someone at the top is telling them who to go after, and maybe it's a political enemy. But until it hits closer to home, until you hear about an abducted young girl whose phone was tapped, it's unlikely that, as you write, the public will come to the sidelines.
Yeah, there's, you know, media consolidation is not a huge issue in the minds of public. What ignited it in Britain is both the top echelons of culture, Buckingham Palace, 10 Downing Street, Parliament itself, and the lowest echelons of culture, people who had been victimized by terror attacks, by murderers. There's no sort of parallel in American culture right now, and as hard as people are working to make that story jump upon, I think that Mr. Murdoch has operated his U.S. properties by different standards, yes, fairly aggressive ones, but if you look at the Wall Street Journal right now, which is, you know, the largest circulation daily paper in America, they've done a pretty good job of covering the story, and if they were indeed that conflicted, I don't think that they'd be doing the job that they're doing.
David Carr, he writes the Media Equation column for the New York Times. We'll link you to his Monday column on the cell phone hacking scandal. David, thanks as always.
Well, pleasure to speak, Robin.